Now let's continue on and see what happened. Because the people were not satisfied in waiting for Moses to come. So let's read chapter 32. What did they do? Did they say, well, we're going to wait here regardless of how long it takes because we know that he is up there with God and he must be getting something very important. Otherwise, it wouldn't have taken so long. But I'm sure others said, well, look at all that fire and volcanic action. We don't know. Maybe he fell into the fire and burned up. Verse 1. When the people saw that Moses delayed to come down from the mountain, then the people gathered themselves to Aaron and said to him, up, make us gods which shall go before us, for this Moses, the man who brought us up out of the land of Egypt, we don't know what has become of him. Now then, here's another great lesson we can learn. Number one, when it involves God and it involves truth, it does not matter how many do not like it. The word of God and the truth of God stands. The opinions of people against the word of God have no standing whatsoever. Now, this is in particularly true. We can apply the same thing to ministers and elders today when it comes to comparing with Aaron. Now, what should have Aaron told them? Aaron should have said, now you must be patient. You must wait. Moses will be back when he is finished with what God has been giving him. And then we can all rejoice together when he comes back. No, he didn't. What did he do? Now, in both cases of the people and of Aaron, they thought they knew better than God. So if God has failed us and Moses hasn't come back, then we better get some kind of gods to get us out of here. Let's see what happens. And Aaron said to them, now notice this great sin of Aaron. The only reason he was not executed for this sin was because of Moses' intervention for him. And the only reason why God did not destroy all the people of Israel at that time was because God listened to Moses' prayer when he said, remember your covenant with Abraham, Isaac, and Jacob, and do not destroy this people, lest the Egyptians say that you brought them out here to kill them. So Moses did the right thing. Aaron did not. Verse 2, and Aaron said to them, break off the golden earrings which are in your ears, in the ears of your wives and your sons and your daughters, and bring them to me. And all the people broke off the golden earrings which were in their ears and brought them to Aaron. And he took them from their hand and fashioned it with a graving tool and made a molten calf. Now, little sidebar. Does this tell us that Aaron was an idol maker in Egypt? I don't know. But how did he know how to make a molten calf? And they said, these are your gods, O Israel, who brought you up out of the land of Egypt, a lie. And when Aaron saw the calf, he built an altar before it. And Aaron made a proclamation and said, tomorrow is a feast to the Lord. Now think on that. Isn't that what people do with all their abominations? All the way down through the history of Israel, all the way down through the history of the different peoples of different nations, they would accept any of the gods that they made with their own hands instead of believing the true God. And did we not see that happen in the churches of God? Yes, we have. And what did they do? They eventually went to Sunday worship. Now, I want you to think on that, because human nature, as accounted for here in Exodus 32, and human nature today, and Satan the devil back then, and Satan the devil now, are the same. And just like people today who go off into rejecting the Word of God but keeping a man-made religion, think they are wiser than God. Now let's notice. Feast to the Lord, and they attached the name of the Lord God to it. Well, God says he doesn't give his glory to any idols. So what did they do? They rose up on the next morning and offered burnt offerings and brought peace offerings, and the people sat down to eat and drink and rose up to play. Now, in rising up to play, think of it in terms of a modern rock concert today, with all the promiscuous sex involved, because that's what it means. Verse 7, the Lord said to Moses, "Go, get you down, for your people whom you brought out of the land of Egypt have corrupted themselves." Now here's a little sidebar. Every time the children of Israel sinned, they were the people that Moses brought out. Every time that they did what was right, they were God's people. Okay. Verse 8, "For they have turned aside quickly out of the way which I commanded them. They have made them a molten calf and have worshipped it and sacrificed to it and said, 'These are your gods, O Israel, who brought you out of the land of Egypt.'" And so, wow, God was ready to destroy them, destroy Aaron, but Moses intervened. No. Moses and Joshua came down, and Moses told Joshua, "This is not the sound of war. It's not a sound of a cry of victory," verse 18, "or a sound of the cry of defeat I'm hearing, the sound of singing." It was a great feast. Oh, my, 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 my. Woo. And it came to pass as soon as he came near to the camp, verse 19, "and saw the calf and the dancing, then Moses' anger burned hot, and he threw the tablets out of his hands and broke them at the bottom of the mountain. And he took the calf which they had made and burned it in the fire and pulverized it to powder and scattered it upon the water and made the children of Israel drink of it." You're going to drink of your own sins. Now notice Aaron's stupid and weak answer. Moses said to Aaron, "What did this people do to you that you have brought so great a sin upon them?" And Aaron said, "Let not your anger, the anger of my Lord, burn hot. You know the people. They are set on mischief. And they said to me, 'Make gods which shall go before us. As for this Moses, the man who brought us up out of the land of Egypt, we do not know what has become of him.' So then I said to them, 'Whoever has any gold, let them break it off.' And they gave it to me, and I threw it into the fire, and there came out this calf." Voila, isn't that wonderful? Yes. Then God instructed Moses to go ahead and destroy the perpetrators of this. And they did. Now then, did they learn the lesson? No. They never learned the lesson that God is God, and we are not greater than God, and we cannot go the way that seems right to us. We must go God's way. But they didn't. And the whole story of the children of Israel is one disaster after another disaster because they didn't listen to God. And when they did, they wanted to say, "Oh God, we know better than you. We will do thus and such." So God told them, come here to Deuteronomy 4. Now we can apply this to today's world as well. Deuteronomy 4, and let's begin in verse 1. And this applies to us as well. This applies to all the churches of God, all elders, all ministers, all brethren. Doesn't it? Now here's what God wants. After wandering for a total of 40 years, because when God was ready to bring them into the land, they refused. And again, use carnal-minded reasoning. So God says, you have rebelled against me these 10 times, so you are going to wander 1 year for every day that the spies were in the land, 40 years, until this evil generation, all of those over 20 are going to die. They will never see this promised land. And that took place. So here now in the book of Deuteronomy, God makes a covenant with all of those who were at the time of that rebellion 20 years old or older. Okay, or correction, 20 years old or younger. So the oldest of them would have been 60 years old. And you would think that everything that they went through, they would have learned. Deuteronomy 4 and verse 1. And now, O Israel, hearken to the judgments and statutes which I teach you in order to do them, so that you may live and go in and possess the land which the Lord God of your fathers gives you. Now let's look at something here, brother. Very important. Every generation thinks that it is better than the generation before them. And every generation thinks that they will be able to conduct themselves in a way that is better than their parents. Now you add to that this proposition that they don't want to do what God says. They want to do like Aaron. They want to build a golden calf. They want to worship the golden calf. They want to follow the golden calf. They want to bow down to it and dedicate it to the Lord. And that's how Israel did over and over and over and over again. They didn't even listen to what God told them. Verse 2, you shall not add to the word that I command you, neither shall you take away from it, so that you may keep the commandments of the Lord your God, which I command you. Now then, God is perfect, his word is perfect, his laws are perfect, his word is true, his commandments are true, all of his precepts are true from the beginning. Human nature is weak. Human nature is evil. Human nature must have the laws and commandments of God to even lead a decent life. And we have the testimony of that in this generation. How many young people die? How many are aborted? Because people think they know more than God. And they will not read the Word of God and do it. Now notice, God gave them some examples. Your eyes have seen what the Lord did because of Baal Peor, for the Lord your God has destroyed from among you all the men that followed Baal Peor. And you who held fast to the Lord your God are alive, every one of you this day. Behold, Moses says, I have taught you statutes and judgments, even as the Lord my God commanded me, so that you should do in the land where you go to possess it, and you shall keep and do them. For this is your wisdom and your understanding in the sight of the nations, which shall hear of these statutes and say, surely this great nation is a wise and understanding people. And how great their God is on whom they call. Well, it didn't take them long to go the way of all flesh again. Joshua led them in. They conquered the land, but they didn't put them out the way that God said. And another smarter, progressive, more wonderful generation arose, and they knew more than Joshua and the elders and the priests and their own parents. So what did they do? Well, come to Judges, the second chapter. Okay? Let's read it here. Let's pick it up in verse 10. So all that generation were gathered to their fathers. Now we have something very similar here today, don't we? Yes. What do we call the greatest generation in America? I couple that with Britain. The generation that saved the world from vain dictators and evil people. Yes. Now this generation that did that is dying out. And we've seen a generational shift even within the churches of God. So the question becomes to everyone, whether you're young or old, but in particularly if you're younger, what are you going to do? Are you going to do as the children of Israel here in Joshua, or Judges rather, the second chapter? Or are you going to be zealous and serve God? Or are you going to look at the faults and mistakes of your parents and other people that you have known and use that as an excuse to abandon God? What are you going to do? Because it's coming to you. You need to recognize it. You can't avoid it. Time marches on. And every gray hair you see on other people, remember they were young just like you once, okay? But now we're older. So what are you going to do when you get older? Will you be like those who are faithful, or will you be like this generation? And there arose another generation after them, Judges 2 and verse 10, who did not know the Lord, nor even the works which he had done for Israel. So then what happens? There is a way that seems right to a man and a woman, but the ends thereof are the ways of death. And the children of Israel did evil in the sight of the Lord and served Balaam. And they forsook the Lord God of their fathers, who brought them out of the land of Egypt. And they followed other gods, even the gods of the people who were around them, and bowed themselves to them, and provoked the Lord to anger, and they forsook the Lord and served Baal and Ashtaroth. Now then, they didn't listen to what God gave them through Moses. Come back here, let's see some scriptures that are easy to understand. Come back here to Deuteronomy 12. Deuteronomy 12, there's nothing hard to understand about these scriptures, you see. God's way is clear, plain, and easy to understand. And when you do what God says, then he will give you understanding of the things that are difficult to understand. See? But again, we come back here to Deuteronomy, the 12th chapter. And let's pick it up in verse 28. Verse 28. Moses told them. Now, Moses died, Joshua died, that whole generation died, but did the younger generation make it their business to learn of the way of God, to understand the way of God? No, they did not, because they would have been able to understand this. Be careful to observe and obey all these words which I command you, so that it may go well with you. Here's the second greatest sin of people. The first one is that they want to improve of God. The second one is they want the blessings of God while they live in their sins. Don't forget that it may be well with you and with your children after you forever when you do that which is good and right in the sight of the Lord your God. Not what we think, not what we suppose, not what we believe separate from the Word of God and through His Spirit. No. Verse 30. Take heed to yourselves, that is after they come and dwell in the land, that you do not be ensnared by following them after they are destroyed before you, and that you do not ask about their gods, saying, how did these nations serve their gods, that I may also do likewise? What did we just read back here? And they forsook the Lord their God. Said, don't do it. But what happens? They want to because they don't believe God. See? Let's read it. Verse 31 of Deuteronomy 12. You shall not do so to the Lord your God, for every abomination to the Lord which he hates, they have done to their gods. Even their sons and their daughters, they have burned in the fire to their gods. And what have we done today with abortion? Now, there's some people trying to stop it and slow it down. But look at all of the promiscuity that people want and love. And they are so blinded that they don't even know what they are doing. Verse 32, let this ring in your ears. Whatsoever thing that I command you, and you can add in there all the words of Christ, be careful to do it. You shall not add to it, nor take away from it. That's what they did over and over and over again. Read and study the whole book of Judges and see what they did. Now, let's come back here and learn some things in the book of Jeremiah. Now, Jeremiah was quite a prophet. He was a young man. So let's pick it up here in the book of Jeremiah. And let's see that always, always, God recognizes repentance. Now, Jeremiah had a tough row to hoe. It was really, really difficult. Now, what is so stunning about this is we can see the parallelism in these prophecies of Jeremiah with the behavior of the people of Israel today, that is, the modern descendants of Israel. So Jeremiah was told that he would be given a forehead of flint, and he was to withstand every single one from the king on down and bring the word of God to them. And he also offered them repentance if they would repent. But they didn't do it. Now, Jeremiah, the first chapter, let's pick it up there. Jeremiah 1 and verse 16. God told Jeremiah, and I will pronounce my judgments against them concerning all the wickedness in that they have forsaken me. Whenever you forsake God in your individual life, in your family life, in your church life, in your national life, you're going to suffer the penalties. Forsaken me and burning incense to other gods and worshiping the works of their own hands. And ho, ho, ho! Don't we worship the work of our own hands today? Oh, yes. You therefore must gird up your loins and arise and speak to them all that I command you. Do not be dismayed at their faces, lest I confound you before them. For behold, I have made you a fortified city this day, and an iron pillar and brass walls against the whole land, against the kings of Judah, against the rulers, against its priests, against the people of the land, and they shall fight against you, but they shall not overcome you, for I am with you, says the Lord, to deliver you. And he had a lot of trouble, but God kept his word, didn't he? Now, how does God always start out with people when he gives them a warning? Well, chapter 2 is very interesting here, isn't it? So let's read some of it. Chapter 2, verse 1. Now notice verse 1 in chapter 2 of Jeremiah, because this is very important. And the word of the Lord came to me, saying, the word of God came to Moses, the word of God came to all the prophets. They speak the words of God. What are we to do today? We are to do the same thing. We are to speak the words of God. How are we to live our lives? Well, Jesus told us, didn't he? Man shall not live by bread alone, but by every word that proceeds out of the mouth of God. And how many times did God say, obey my voice? So he told Jeremiah this, go and cry in the ears of Jerusalem, saying, thus says the Lord, I remember you, the kindness of your youth, the love of your betrothals, when you went after me in the wilderness in a land not sown. Israel was holiness to the Lord, and the first fruits of his increase, all that devour him shall be guilty. Evil shall come upon them, says the Lord. That's what God intended. But again, the two great sins. Men want to improve on God, and men want to attach all of their things that they think are good, attach to it the name of the Lord, so they can sin and still receive the blessings of God. Amazing, isn't it? Verse 3. Oh, we read that. Verse 4. Hear the word of the Lord, O house of Jacob, and all the families of the house of Israel, thus says the Lord. All right? He goes right to the heart of the problem. What injustice have your fathers found in me? Has God sinned? Has God been unjust? Has God been unloving? Has God been unkind? What injustice have your fathers found in me that they have gone far from me and walked after vanity and become vain? Nor did they say, where is the Lord who brought us up out of the land of Egypt, who led us through the wilderness, through a land of deserts, of pits, and a land of dry places, of deep darkness, through a land that no man passes through and where no man lived. No, God who did the miracles, God who gave them manna for 40 years, God who provided water out of a rock. And God continues in verse 7 and says, and I brought you into a plentiful country to eat its fruit and its goodness. But when you entered, you defiled my land and you made my inheritance an abomination. Now the priests who were the leaders, they didn't say, where is the Lord? And they who handled the law did not know me. The rulers also rebelled against me, and the prophets prophesied by Baal and walked after things that do not profit. So then God asked the question. He said, now I want you to learn something. What of these other nations around here have changed their gods? But you, what have you done? These nations are never dealt with, God says. They have never known me, but you did, and I dealt with you, and you know that I'm God. Why did you go after these other gods and worship them when I told you not to do it? You have changed God. All right. Now let's go to the last part of chapter 3. God always cries out for repentance. A lot don't listen because they think they know more than the one who's speaking, and more than God. So let's come here to verse 22, chapter 3. Jeremiah 3 and verse 22. Notice what God says. He says, they perverted the way of the Lord and have forgotten the Lord God. So God says, verse 22, return, O backsliding children, and I will heal your backsliding. Behold, we come to you, for you are the Lord our God. That's what they should say. Truly in vain is salvation hoped for from the high hills, from the multitude of mountains. Truly in the Lord our God is the salvation of Israel. That's what God wanted them to say. to come in repentance, to come in weeping, to come in forsaking sin and forsaking all the pagan ways that they were doing. The shameful thing has eaten up the labor of our fathers from our youth, their flocks and their herds, their sons and their daughters. We lie down in our shame, and confusion covers us, for we have sinned against the Lord our God, we and our fathers from our youth even to this day, and have not obeyed the voice of the Lord our God. No, they didn't keep the commandments of God. They didn't keep the holy days of God. They did not keep the Sabbaths of God. Yet God gave them the choicest lands. God held back his wrath and his fury so many times in hopes that they would repent, in hopes that they would turn to him. Now, chapter 4 and verse 1. Here is how they should have returned to God. Now, we look at the nations today. This is what they must do to return to God. There is no turning back of the judgments of God coming upon this nation because of all of their paganism and all the things that they have done. There is no turning back. They are coming unless Jeremiah 4 happens. Verse 1. If you will return, O Israel, says the Lord, return to me, not to your idea of God. No, to me. Now, a little sidebar. I got a little DVD from Billy Graham entitled My Hope for America. And he gives some examples in there of things that are wrong. But in the final analysis, it was not a call to return to the true God, as was given here by Jeremiah. It was a call to return to the Protestantism that he taught. And years ago, someone asked Billy Graham, because he was a good preacher, brought many people into many churches. And he was asked, years ago, while he was starting to climb the ladder of fame, why don't you preach about the Sabbath of God? Because he knew that it was the seventh day. And he says, well, I can reach more people in preaching what I am preaching than if I would preach about the Sabbath. So if there's a return to Protestantism, it's not returning to God. And he should have entitled it, instead of My Hope, My Billy Graham Hope for America, he should have entitled it God's Hope for America. Now we'll read what God's Hope for America is right here. Same way for Britain, but they won't do it. Verse 1, if you will return, O Israel, says the Lord, return to me. And if you will put away your abominations out of my sight, then you shall not be removed. But did they do it? No. And you need to understand that God's word is so true, so powerful, that Jesus said, heaven and earth shall pass away, but my word shall never pass away. Likewise, these words of God for the people today. You can't return back to the swill that was given to you before. You must repent and return to God in the way that God says. Okay? Verse 2. And will swear, the Lord lives in truth. In truth with all of his commandments and statutes and judgment and righteousness and Sabbath and holy days. In truth, in judgment, and in righteousness. Then the nations shall bless themselves in him, that is God, and in him shall they glory. Now that's not going to happen anytime soon. But with those of us in the churches of God, and for those who are contemplating serving God by repenting and being baptized, you can make a change in your life. And so we will see what Israel did, what Judah did, and what we need to do. Remember, you cannot serve God and mammon. You cannot serve false gods in the name of the true God. You cannot bow down to idols and claim you're worshiping God, because the cornerstone and the rock is Christ, and it's not the vanity of human beings. For our overseas offices, please check our website, www.cbcg.org.